Hello, and welcome to episode 18 of the Blue Cup Tools podcast. I am Francisco Gonzalez, also known as Grunislav, and with me, as always...
Oh, I see how it is. That's fine. No, that's... I see how it is.
How what is?
How this is.
How what is?
You abandoned me. You left. You can't say with me as always. You took off for weeks. You left. You abandoned me and you abandoned our listeners.
I did no such thing.
You did.
I didn't. I told you I was going away on hiatus for a little while.
Okay. That's fine.
Anyway.
That's whatever. That's cool. No, don't. You can't just anyway this.
All right. Obviously, we need to get through some. We need to air out some dirty laundry.
Yes, we do. I'm Ben Chandler, and this is the Blue Cup Tools podcast.
Okay. And hello,
and
Ben.
And you left. Hello.
I did leave. I left, and now I'm back.
And now you're in New York.
Yes, I am.
What the hell?
And in a cave, apparently.
A cave?
Well, I hear some echo. I don't know if...
Oh, yeah. No, you sound like the Wizard of Oz. Remember in the old film with the...
Yes. I am the great and powerful Oz. Actually, it's because I'm in a slightly unfurnished apartment. But
and really, you're just a tiny man hiding behind a big curtain.
That's
which
true.
Which is actually quite accurate.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Anyway, how are you, Ben Chandler? How have you been over the past few weeks that I haven't talked to you once at all, ever?
Yeah, exactly. I've been quite busy, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I have.
Doing what?
Working on games and playing music and, you know, the normal stuff. I'm in bed right now, which is amazing because I was out all night playing music, which is why my voice is a little...
I'm sure the ladies will love it, and maybe some of the men.
Well, men don't listen to our podcast. It's females only.
Oh, that's you're right.
That's the terms and conditions of listening to it.
It's hello, amazing. Ladies.
So I'm still in bed. How are you? How have you been? How's the Big Apple? Have you taken a big juicy bite out of the Big Apple yet?
Oh, no, but I've taken a big juicy bite out of some pie face.
Delicious.
Indeed. The Big Apple's good. I spent 3 weeks sort of looking for an apartment, which I finally got, and I'm in right
now.
Yes,
you did. Hello. Yes, hello.
And I have just received today my computer, which is why we're doing a podcast now, and not ages ago.
I've had people asking me about the podcast, by the way.
So have I. The usual suspects. You know who you are. Mm.
They do, and they're listening right now. Hello, usual suspects.
Hello Punch.
Well, I wasn't going to name names, because it wasn't just him, but you know.
Well, yeah, okay. Anyway, I've been good. I'm settling in. I've got a laptop now. I spent 3 weeks without working on my game, which was very frustrating, but now I've been able to work on my game, and I actually went to a cafe yesterday and met up with Dave Gilbert, and we sat next to each other, and I worked on a Golden Wake while he worked on Blackwell, and it was very, very inspiring, very, very cool to work alongside someone else.
I have to say, I've been telling you for ages to get a laptop.
I know.
Finally did, and now you realize why I say it, because it's amazing. I'm doing a podcast in bed. Laptops are amazing.
Yeah, I wish that I wasn't so lazy and got the Pamela call recording software on my laptop so I could do podcasts in bed, but we haven't quite gotten to that point yet. Maybe next podcast I'll have done it.
I wonder if that's a little too creepily intimate for our listeners. Probably not. They don't care.
They don't care. I don't care. Do you care?
No, of course not. I want them to be in bed while they listen to us talking in bed. It can be like a big sort of slumber party, a big sleepover, where you all start late like, talking to each other.
Yes, about video games.
Games.
So
anyway, let's talk about games. Have you had time, any chance to play many games?
I've had no time to play any games.
What have you played since our last podcast?
I have played Have a Social Life for once.
What
which
loser.
Is I know, seriously.
You're a neo-loser, where you're not a nerd. See, these days, nerd is cool, so you're a loser now.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm wrong.
You went to Barcade.
I was just going to say that. I went to Barcade and I played Rampage, which was a nice blast from the past.
Yeah, man. Cool. That's a cool game.
And not only did I play Rampage, but I brought Rampage home with me because I bought a shower curtain that's got a city skyline on it, so I can pretend I'm King Kong in the shower.
You did. And you made me guess why you got the shower curtain, and it took me two goes, I think, or three goes.
You got it in three.
Never mind.
Can I just say I did the test with another friend of mine, and he got it in one, so you gotta step up, buddy. Anyway, yeah, so I played Rampage. Have you played any games?
I have played lots of games. I played Shadowrun Returns, which is amazing, which is great. Between that and Driftmoon, it really made me happy about it. It made the old school RPG, well, middle school RPG gamer in me satisfied, which is nice. I have played some Batman Arkham City, which is a lot like Arkham Asylum, but bigger and better.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still Batman. I have played Fez, which is... I'm not 100% sure how to feel about Fez, but I really like most of it. So
well,
there you go. I thought it was very, very clever.
I can tell a little Fez anecdote.
Please do.
You've
talked to Phil Fish.
I've talked to Phil Fish, but this is not the Fez anecdote. The Fez anecdote is the fact that I received a text message at 3:30 in the morning from you in all capital letters saying, "Oh my god, the alphabet in Fez is amazing. You need to get this game." So clearly... You felt very excited about certain parts of this game.
There's certain puzzles that when you stumble across the clue for them, they're so simple and elegant that it's just quite splendid, I have to say. But yeah, Fez is a really... Not only has it got some really nice puzzles, but all of the platforming feels like a puzzle, which is nice, because platforming gets really boring if you just jump, like meaningless, thinkingless jumping with combat. Fez has no combat. It's all just puzzles. You can't get hurt in Fez.
Good.
So it's difficult.
Can your Fez fall off?
Are you kidding me, man?
No, it's a legitimate question. Can your Fez fall? Oh.
No. But yeah, it's nice to see a game's challenge being entirely intellectual while at the same time not relying on like a non-kinetic interface, if that makes sense.
Not really, but I'll pretend it does. I just remembered something else. I went back to Sword and Sorcery, which I...
Yeah, I've been playing a bit of that as well.
Yeah, good. I just realized that I didn't go back to it. I started playing it the other day when it was a bright moon, and I haven't gone back to it, so I might have to wait another month before I can play it again, because there's a section in the... I don't know how far you've gotten in Sword and Sorcery, but in Phase 3, there's a bit where you actually have to play... And you can only complete certain bits when the moon is either a new moon or a full moon. So,
but there's a cave that you go into that changes the phases of the moon.
There is?
Surprise.
Are you playing it on PC?
Yeah.
Maybe that was added for the PC version, because I don't think that exists on the phone version.
Okay, but you have to...
You can cheat and change the date on your phone, but I'm not sure.
You have to... There's the dancing bear thing.
Yeah, I fought that guy, but...
And you get a key.
Yeah.
And you take the key and you unlock the thing that needs a key to unlock. And we go in there.
Which is where? Because I wasn't able to find a use for that key.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, you've missed the whole thing.
Oh.
Sorry.
Well, I feel like a dick now.
I've been playing some Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery EP as well.
Obviously.
I've been playing, you're better at solving
these puzzles than I am, apparently, too.
Well, clearly. I've been playing some Nicopol, which, as you may remember, I watched the film.
Oh my god, didn't you play Nicopol, like, years ago? Not years ago, but quite a while ago.
Well, it's been a while since we've done the last podcast.
Has it? It seems
Yeah, like you ran away, you left! That's what I'm telling you! I've been playing...
I needed a break, okay? I needed some space.
I'll give you some
space. You were smothering me, all right?
I'll smother you in my pillow. I'm in bed.
You smother me with your farts.
Yeah. I've been playing... Man, I've played a lot of games since you've been away. Like, yeah, I've played some Bleed, and I was telling you about Bleed, and yes. I was comparing it to other games which are amazing, like yes. Anointed Love 2 Devolution, and it's kind of like the later Mega Mans, like Mega Man Zero to the...
You mean the shit Mega Mans?
Have you even played them?
Which ones?
Mega Man Zeros.
Oh, no, I was... You said later Mega Man X. Yeah, I played Mega Man X. But when you said the later Mega Mans, I thought you were talking about like the NES ones, like Mega Man 7 and Mega Man 8.
No, I'm talking about the... No, they're still early era.
Okay.
Because middle era is like Mega Man X series. And then the late middle era is the Mega Man Zero series, and then the modern era is Mega Man ZX series.
Man, you're like a Mega Man historian.
Thank you.
I don't know if that was meant to be a compliment, but yeah, okay.
I don't care, but yeah, it's quite a bit. Bleed is quite a bit like the. You can see it's inspired from Mega Man. Like at the end, you have to go back and fight all of the bosses that you fought.
Oh.
Doing the game and their robot versions now, you know, it's a cheap, cute, fast-paced, fun action game with lots of. It's cool. It's cute. The ending is ridiculous. It's far too Sesame Street feel good for me.
Oh dear.
But anyway, I've been playing a little bit of, Rayman Jungle Run, which is
which I told you to get ages ago, and I'm glad you finally did.
Yeah, and it's made me curse Michelle Ancel. And they did a really good job of taking a console game and making it mobile. It's one of the best.
Absolutely. And not only did they make it a mobile game, but they turned a very tight platformer into essentially a one-button game, which works really well.
It works really, really well. So that's good. I've been playing a little bit of Steam Marines. And a little bit of Tiny Barbarian DX.
Good.
And that's it. So, yes, I've been playing some games.
I started playing Bastion about 20 minutes before we did this podcast. So, there's one that I'm playing. And
Bastion is... I like Bastion. I have the print on my wall. I can see it. Hello from my wall. It's got a very colourful... Gen Z's got a very colour-oriented art style, you know? She really uses a lot of colour in her work, and I like that.
It is very colourful. I don't know what to make of the game right now because, as you know, you just kind of get thrown into it and start swinging. So I'm hoping that they'll get a little bit more in-depth, but I'm enjoying it so far. The narration, of course, is good.
And the music.
And the music is good too, yes.
It takes a little while before the story starts kicking in, but overall I found Bastion a very pleasing experience.
Good.
Well worth a look.
Indeed.
So how's the game development going now that you're back into it? Are you excited? Are you like, yeah.
I am excited. I am excited because not only am I able to get back into the game development, but also now I have game development on the go. So I don't just have to sit in my little apartment. I can go to Prospect Park. If I want to, I can go to the top of the Empire State Building if I wanted to. I can go anywhere, and I can work on my game any place I want.
This is what I would told you for a year.
Yeah.
Prior to getting a laptop. It's nice to feel vindicated.
Yeah, whatevs. I didn't really need one. I didn't really need one before because I didn't go out.
I suppose because when I lived in Miami, you just like sweat and be angry.
Exactly. Whereas here I can go anywhere I want and be pleased, and there's more of a reason to go out places and more ease of getting to places, you know? Yeah. Anyway, so I went to Best Buy today.
Okay.
I went to Best Buy today because I received my computer, as I said, and unfortunately, FedEx damaged my package and my monitor was no longer
working. Now, when you say FedEx damaged your package,
it means exactly what you think it means, baby.
Good. Let's go. Let's move on.
So my monitor, which was an LCD monitor, apparently got banged up, and when it turned on, it's all, you can see that it's been smashed in a couple of places, even though the screen itself is not smashed. So long story short, my monitor, it no longer worked. So it's, I had to go to, yes, it is no longer in working condition. So I went online and I bought a replacement monitor and a new mouse, because they also didn't like the fact that there was a battery in my mouse, and they apparently opened the package and removed the battery and in the process destroyed and damaged the mouse.
How do you remove a battery and destroy the mouse?
I don't know. The cover didn't go on right. I think it just broke some other way. I don't know.
They must be very clumsy.
They must be. But anyway, the point is, I had to buy a replacement monitor and a replacement mouse today. So I went to Best Buy to pick them up. And when I was at Best Buy, I may or may not have browsed the games section. Good. And actually, it's funny because this Best Buy in Brooklyn, in the Atlantic Terminal, if anybody is familiar with that shopping center, any of our listeners, has a terrible game selection. Because not only do they not alphabetize their games, but they didn't even have any recent games. Like, I was looking for Rayman Legends, I'll admit.
Of course you were. It's going to be amazing.
I know. And they didn't have it. So I was quite disappointed. And, of course, they had tons of Grand Theft Auto 5s, but I'm not going to get Grand Theft Auto 5 just yet. Man, they didn't even have The Last of Us.
Wow.
They had Tomb Raider, but yeah.
Man, you've just named a bunch of my games to get list. I still haven't got Tomb Raider. Man, the only 2013 games I've played that were commercial are Devil May Cry, Drift Moon, and Shadowrun Returns.
I've played no 2013 games, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I want Tomb Raider, and I want Last of Us, and I want Watch Dogs. That's not out yet, is it?
Well, no, Watch Dogs doesn't come out until November, I think, if it even comes out this year. When does it even come out? I don't know.
I want Remember Me, even though Ilyich tells me that it's rubbish.
Oh, they had Remember Me, and it was still full price, which I found was...
Hang on, they didn't have The Last of Us or Rayman Legends, but they had Remember Me?
Well, yeah.
That's because, pretty tragic.
And I know, I know that because Remember Me is only a couple of letters away from Rayman Legends, and they didn't have Rayman Legends, but they did have Remember Me. They had quite a few copies of Remember Me, actually. So that tells you something.
No, bought it.
Exactly.
But I still want it because I'm a sucker for Cyberpunk with nice graphics.
Why don't you wait for Cyberpunk 2077?
Because I hate waiting. Patient. But yes, that's another game I want at some point. If they ever make it into a game, other than like a trailer of the same picture in three different directions.
Yeah.
But have you ever played a CD Projekt Red game before? Have you what played else? The Witcher?
They did The Witcher, didn't they? No, I haven't played any of The Witcher games.
Oh, see. The Witcher 1 made me laugh because the writing was kind of awkward to the point where it was like, you would go up to a lady and she was like, I like flowers. And you're like, here are some flowers. And then you have sex. And that was the entirety of some of the interaction. It's just like, that's okay.
Can I just say that's an amazing lady voice?
Thank you. I actually moonlight as a escort. You go, I like flowers.
Minus the light part.
Well, yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. Man, whatever you do in the dark doesn't matter. It's all good. I'm in bed now.
Good.
Yeah, in The Witcher 2, they kind of... It was still a bit silly, but they got rid of the more sort of superfluous bits, I think, like that. And just... They focused a lot more, I think.
On the boobies?
Well, yeah, there were boobies, but it was, I mean, more focused on... unbelievable character interaction. So I hope they keep this up for Cyberpunk 2077. And their games are slowly getting better to play, so, you know.
Good.
I'm excited about that.
So aside from playing games, you've been working on quite a few games.
Yeah, I have
And a game that you worked on, quite a bit, just came out not long ago, and that would be Sepulchre.
Yes, I did work on that game. I drew the pictures for it. All in a rush, I must admit. Most of that game was done on in whatever fleeting spare moments I had. So, yeah. Didn't really get to spend as much time on it as I'd like to have. But that's all right, because that's game development.
Yeah, but no, it's still... I played it finally when I went home to get my stuff a couple of weeks ago, or last week, actually. And I enjoyed it. It was an interesting game. I hope I didn't play Richard and Alice, but I do enjoy I did enjoy the story, and I'm curious to see what Mr. Ashton Reyes and Louis Denby come up with in the future.
So I quite enjoyed working. I've been working on lots of different games, most of which I can't really talk about. So you know, that's life. That's freelancing for you. But yep.
But I think we mentioned on another podcast or somewhere sometime that it was always amusing or interesting to see these little duos that get formed. And I think that Ashton Reyes and Louis Denby are one of those powerhouse duos that produce good stuff.
Yeah, as soon as I read the script for the game, when Louis emailed it to me, he's like, "Hey, Reyes has just sent me this script," which he wrote like 3 years ago.
Mm.
And we want to make a game for him, and we want you to do the art for it. Let's, you know, what do you think? And I read it. As soon as I read it, I was like, oh man, I love this. I have to work on this game. I really like bizarre light horror, like Kelly Link stuff. And as soon as I read it, I thought of Kelly Link. And Kelly Link is amazing. And I've since gone on and read Razor's book, which is also amazing. It's very bizarre. And I have talked to him about the book on Skype. Excuse me, and even after he's explained most of the stories to me, I'm still like, oh, okay. But I loved it. So yeah, as soon as I read the script for the game, I was like, yeah, I have to work on this. And I don't think it comes across quite as well as a game as it did in the script, but that's all right, because I don't think any game ever will.
Mm. Yeah, you know, it always, every time I just, it baffles me that people can write stuff and just like I write my games and stuff, but I never feel like I'm capable of writing a story that will make people kind of go, oh, or I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like I admire people who can write stories that are ambiguous and can make people that are open to interpretation and stuff like that. Like that sort of thing. Cause
yeah,
I don't know. I can't think of, I'm really bad with metaphors and subtlety and things like that, so I kind of hit people over the head with what I'm trying to say when I write stuff. So, I don't know.
Well, everyone's got their own style, you know. If everyone's the same, it'd be a boring, boring world.
You're right.
Of course I'm right. We're doing a podcast that makes us leading authorities on the subject.
Yeah, speaking of subjects, we don't really have a clear one this podcast.
No, we're just
kind of rambling on about any old thing.
Yeah, we wanted to do a podcast just to get back into the swing of things, really.
You're right. We don't really.
And plus, I don't feel like getting out of bed, so I need something I can do while staying in bed. And it's either this or play PlayStation.
What a lazy.
Man, I was out all night. I got home. You know what time it was when I walked through the door and looked at the clock?
It was 3:04.
It was 3:04 in the morning. Yes. I give it my all when I play gigs. Like when I make games, I give it my all. Oh man, I also worked on a game, on a 48-hour jam game with Wormwood Studios. So look for that soon. For that. I think at the end of September that's going to get released. I mean, it's been done, it's been finished, but it's been submitted to the. I don't even know what it was. They just emailed me and said, "Hey man, do some animations for us in 48 hours. I was like, okay, why do I do this? Oh, I got so much to do with so little time. So there's another game putting us on. It's called Salt.
Salt? Like the thing you put on eggs?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. So, yeah, look for that. So let's talk about, this is the thing, I was playing Batman Arkham City the other day, and I'm quite enjoying Batman Arkham City. You know, I love the combat. The combat in the two Batman games feels really nice compared to a lot of combat and a lot of games where...
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you have to wait for animations to finish normally, whereas in this, you know, if a guy's coming up behind you while you're taking a guy out, you hit the... You're like, I can block him straight away. It's perfect. Yeah.
I love it when there's two guys that come after you and you hit the counter button twice and bam, it just takes them both down. It really feels empowering.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say it feels empowering.
It does to me.
I don't walk out the door and like, yeah, come at me, clown face goons. I'm going to punch you.
But, oh, man, you don't want to be near me on the street when I finish playing Batman Arkham.
Man, City. I have wrestled your ass. I can take you.
Well, there's the fact that you're about 5 feet taller than I am. Well, not 5 feet taller than
I. You're tiny man.
About 9 inches taller than me. But you're a tiny man.
Yeah, yeah, but
what I lack in height, I make up for in spirit.
By which you mean the stuff you have to drink before you wrestle people.
Secret weapon!
So one thing I mentioned to you was that I kind of wish that... I don't want to say that I wish it wasn't a Batman game. Because, I mean, Batman's a pretty cool character, you know?
Yeah.
He's... Unlike a lot of like, you know, I won't say unlike a lot of superheroes, because all superheroes seem to have this like thing, but they point out his weaknesses, and you know, Batman gets quite weak. I don't want to spoil anything, but you know, he's not just some superpowered villain or anything. Ooh. Like that.
They're coming to arrest us for doing podcasts.
Oh, they'll be alright. Once they hear our voices and realize I'm in bed, they'll swoon and fall into their fainting couch. but yeah, Batman. I mean, I like Batman as a character, but one thing that I mentioned to you was I feel a bit stupid walking around as a guy dressed up as a bat. Punching, like, with my worst enemies being a guy who identifies as a penguin and a guy that dresses up as a clown. And I kind of wish, you know, they've got these... Batman does a really... Like a lot of comics from the era, because I think Batman was started in the 30s. They have this obsession with these really over-characterized characters, you know? And well, I mentioned to you how something like Infamous, I can relate to so much more because Cole's just a human being.
Well, yes. The thing about Batman, though, is... And one thing I like about the Arkham games, or more Arkham City than Arkham Asylum, even though they kind of did it in Arkham Asylum, was in Arkham Asylum, they had the Riddler's riddles where... Yes. They mostly had to do with characters who were not seen on screen. They were mainly comic book references. I've never read Batman comics, but...
Have you not read any of them?
No, I've never really read any of the Batman
comics. Oh, man, I've got some recommendations for you then.
Okay. Is it the ones that everyone recommends? The Dark Knight, the Frank Miller one, and the Joker, the Killing Joke, and all that stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They're good. They're really good. They're actually really good.
I don't doubt they are. I'm sure I'll get them at some point. But I'll be honest with you. Right now I'm kind of comicked out because I got the Walking Dead compendium and I just couldn't get through that. I just
really?
Yeah. I made it about 3/4 of the way through and I had to stop. I just can't deal with it anymore. Anyway. So the thing about the Arkham games, like I said, is they have the villains that appear on screen, you have to fight and all that. And then they have all the little extra riddles of the villains who don't appear on screen.
Sure.
And as you know, and as anyone who's read the Batman comics probably knows, and who watched the 60s TV series and all that, there were some pretty good Batman villains, but there were also some really, really bad Batman villains. I mean, Calendar Man, for example. And yet, somehow in Arkham City, they managed to make him actually a scary kind of guy, you know? Like, I mean, in the comics, he's just like a guy who's like, I like calendars. Oh, look, it's a holiday. I'm going to commit a crime. I'm going to rob a bank or something. And
yeah, well, 60s Batman was very camp.
Well, yeah, but I don't think Calendar Man wasn't. Well, he might have been in 60s Batman, but he was definitely in the comics. So, yeah. And his name is Julian Day. I mean, come on, really?
Well, look at the Riddler.
I know, Edward Nygma, but still. In the Batman Arkham City, they actually managed to make him creepy, and he's like
Mr. E Enigma.
Yes, I know. But yeah, he's creepy, and you get a trophy for listening to him tell the stories about all his crimes on different holidays. But it's not like, oh, I robbed a bank. He's like, I killed somebody and then ate their liver, sort of thing. Like, he's a genuine psychopath. And then the scary thing is that after you listen to all his little riddle, or not riddles, because that's the riddle, but after you listen to all his horrible stories about all the stuff he does on holidays, he disappears. So he escapes. So, yeah, that's a little worrying that he's out there. Batman's not very good at keeping the villains in jail.
Well, he's not allowed to kill them.
Yeah, I know. If only he would break
his own moral code.
Batman, honestly, he's got issues. Well, of course he's got issues. He dresses up like a bat, for God's sakes.
Dude, read The Killing Joke. I'm telling you, man. Read it.
Yeah.
So yeah, but my thing with Batman was I found like in most superhero IPs, the villains and the heroes are just so strongly characterized that I really have a hard time identifying. I know that people in real life can be a little bit like that, but it does remove a lot of the immersion for me.
Well, superheroes are all about archetypes and exaggerated personalities. I mean,
but I think you can exaggerate a bit while still being a lot more subtle, you know?
Yeah, but do you know what you get when you get superheroes who are actual humans and have actual human personalities and needs and whatnot?
Yeah, you get heroes.
No, you get Watchmen.
Yeah, well, Watchmen still had a couple of superhero types, you know? The story wouldn't work without. But that's why I really like Watchmen.
Yeah, well, that's why everybody likes Watchmen, because it's a deconstruction of the superhero stereotypes. Yeah.
Which is, and it's not just that, it shows how messed up you need to be in order to do what they do.
Yeah.
Man, read the Batman things I recommended you. Do it.
I will.
Because they do that as well. They do that as well, to an extent.
Good.
But yeah, so...
Which is the one where he gets all angry and he bitch slaps Robin and he says, I'm the goddamn Batman.
I don't know. I'm not a Batman nerd. I've just read a couple of the comics.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, if anybody listening to this podcast knows
David
which one
B. Cooper. David what? B. Cooper, we need your help. David B. Cooper will know. He knows Batman. Man, he's a Batman freak and he listens to our podcast.
Does the B in David B. Cooper stand for Batman?
Probably.
Good.
So very weird guy, if you're listening. If you can hear us now.
And if you are a very weird guy. And
he is. I can promise you this. You know this. Tell us which Batman it was. We need to know.
Yes, we do.
But so I wanted to talk about character identity, and now that we're halfway through the podcast, I think we should start talking about the topic.
What do you mean halfway? What do you mean halfway through the podcast? You yourself said that these things could go on for as long as we wanted.
Man, there are no limits. They are boundless. I always remember Tim Schafer was talking about character identity, and he mentioned the example of Bernie and Ben and the difference between them opening the door
in a puzzle. Yeah, it's a classic example.
Yeah, where Ben would eat the sandwich and kick the door down, and Bernie would use the toothpick in it to pick the lock.
Bernard would do the classic slip the
paper,
the key, but with the bread from the sandwich and all that.
Man, so I was playing Nicopol, and there was one of those puzzles, and I was like, really? No.
That puzzle needs to go away.
Yeah, it's just one of those puzzles where as soon as you see it, you know what you have to do.
So you know what I want to do? I want to make a game called Door Quest, which is the entire game just consists of sliding newspapers under doors to get the key.
Okay. That's my reaction.
Will you do the art for it? I need several different doors.
I bet.
By the way, where did you get that graphic for the Kingdom Farts game?
That was... There's this thing in one of the Metal Gear Solid... I think it's the first Metal Gear Solid game where it's the guy that... The guy with poor sort of body function control. And
what?
And there's a bit where he's nude and it's blurred out, but if you stand far enough away... then the blur, if you stand at the right particular angle, then the blur goes away and you can see his butt.
What is it with the Metal Gear Solid games and
naked
people running around?
Well, it's over-sexualized by nature. That's always how it's been.
I don't know. I've only ever played a slight bit of Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty, and I couldn't even get to Olga, and I gave up.
Why? Because it was too silly?
Maybe. I don't know.
But yeah, so when we talk about like character identities, I look at your games and I look at some of the characters you've done. I mean, Ben Jordan was a real every guy, you know? He was a guy that sort of just following his dreams, really, which is pretty...
He was just this guy, you know?
And he was following his dreams. But then you did stuff like Backdoor Man, and I found it really interesting to play through your perception of a man whore and his night out, his very crazy night out. Man, that was a wild night.
Yeah, I guess it was.
What made you choose to do a man whore? I say man whore? Is that offensive to men?
No.
I don't think so. What can I call it? An escort.
You can call him a man whore.
I want to call him a male escort. It sounds classy. It sounds like you've made a classy game like that. Otherwise, it sounds like you've made, like Singles 2 Flirt Up Your Life or something.
Oh, God.
I saw that just on sale the other day. I was like, man. I remember seeing a review of that game.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I should get that, but then I didn't.
I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah, so am I.
I don't know what I wanted to do. I've talked about the trio of games that I wanted to do, I'm sure.
Yeah, you have. But why male escort? What made that character seem like the one?
Well, because nobody else had done it, and it was really something that, yeah, you think about adventure game protagonists. What other games have had a male escort as a main character?
Very true.
So there you go. I mean, look at the classic movie about male escorts, Midnight Cowboy. You don't watch movies, but...
No, I don't.
That's a classic movie with John Voight and Dustin Hoffman. And John Voight comes to New York, and he's a man whore. And then Dustin Hoffman is his friend. And they get into trouble. And actually, there's a
that's
character...
That's the most compelling summary of any movie I've ever heard. I want to watch it right now.
it's a lot more deep than that, but... actually, there's a character in that movie who is played by Bob Balaban, and he is a character actor who's been in several movies. And his character in Midnight Cowboy is a guy who's a closeted homosexual, and he hires John Voight's character to, you know, do the nasty with. And he's like, I don't normally do this. And the character...
Man, why is it called doing the nasty? That's an awful term for it. Awful term. It's not necessarily nasty.
Baking cookies?
No.
Is that a better euphemism?
Sexual intercourse.
All right, fine. So he hires him for sexual intercourse. Yeah. And, yes. So, anyway, the character in Backdoor Man, who is the same, the man who calls on the man whore.
Yeah.
His character portrait, and indeed his whole look, is based on Bob Balaban. So there you go, a little bit of trivia there for you. It's a little reference to Midnight Cowboy there. Everybody's talking about me. And they don't hear a word I'm saying. Only the echoes of my mind.
I held off on Kiss from a Rose during the Batman bit. So let's have some composure here.
Thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah, let's have some composure here. So I think one thing that Backdoor Man really illustrates to me is that if you pick a particular character to write about, like a particular personality or a particular job or a particular, just a particular character type, wherever it spawns from, you get situations that that character will naturally get involved into, which you can write a game around, which I find quite interesting. Sort of the game itself can grow just from the roots that is the character's personality or profession or anything like that.
Sure.
So I think a lot of unlikely situations can be solved by the fact, oh man, the guy gets paid to have sex with someone. These are the things that could naturally occur. Almost none of the stuff that happens in Backdoor Man is silly, or, you know, it's all stuff that could really happen.
Well, it's not silly except for maybe one animation.
I think I know the one you mean.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but as another example, and a similar sort of example, but I remember Al Lowe commenting on Leisure Suit Larry, and he basically said that the whole point of making his games was that he just constantly wanted to see what horrible situations he could put Larry in. And that's basically where all the comedy in his games
spawned. Which is awesome. You know, you get this guy that's a loser, and let's all make fun of him while at the same time kind of feel sorry for him.
Yeah, and we're playing as him, so you kind of have to get emotionally invested in his character anyway.
Except in Leisure Suit Larry 2, when the only emotion that I invested in the game was, man, this is a pile of scum. I'm sorry, Allo. I know you're listening, and I know it probably upsets you, but...
Could I just point something out real quick?
What's that?
Allo doesn't listen to this podcast.
You do this every time! You don't know that! You don't know the individual people that download our podcast. Allo is invested in the adventure game industry. I mean, they just did the Leisure Suit Larry remake with Replay Games. So you don't know this.
I have a pretty good idea.
You have a pretty messed up... Your self-worth is... is very unfortunate, Francisco. That's all I'll say. So I don't want to push it any further than that.
I'm just being realistic, Benjamin.
Okay. But anyway, so I've been talking to Dave Gilbert about the Shiver lately, and
really?
Yeah. And it's interesting.
What an interesting thing to talk about. That game is several years old. Why could it possibly be relevant now?
Because I talk to people about things, and one of the interesting things is, I was talking to Ashton Reyes as well, and talking about characters and games and stuff, and we talked about the Shiver, and he really likes the Shiver. You like the Shiver, didn't you? I mean, you voice acted in it, and you're extremely gruff with your pitch shifted detective voice.
Let me ask you a question. What does me voice acting in a game have to do with liking it?
Well, you get invested in a project that you help with.
How could you possibly say that? I mean, do you like every game that you've worked on?
Yeah. I will like something about it, or I'm not going to work on it.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
I don't work on a project if I'm not interested in some part of it. Are you kidding me?
No, of course, but I mean, like, if... Not just your own projects, but I'm talking about when you freelance for stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have very little control over it, but you never know how it's going to turn out. It's like movies, you know. You get bad movies. At some point, the actors and everyone else involved must think, oh, this is probably good, or else they wouldn't work on it. And then somehow, somewhere along the line, something happens and it turns to crap.
But, I like all the games I've worked on. I mean, there's some that I'm like, oh man, I wish this was better, or I wish that was better, but I all think I wouldn't have released them. I've got lots of unreleased games that I think sucked.
Yeah.
Even if it's like the Ocean Spirit Dennis games that I released as a joke, I think they still represent the joke that I intended to convey with the experience. Even if it's no that game was the experience of me making a game after having like no sleep for a large amount of time.
I know, I was talking to you on Skype when you were making
and it. And I think that incoherent. I think that game conveys how incoherent I really was.
Yeah. Anyway, but yes, going back to the original thing, yes, I did like Shiva. I did like
I like
notwithstanding the fact that I did do a voice for it.
And so I was talking to Ray's, and Ray's was telling me, he's like, man, there really needs to be more games with interesting characters like a rabbi. I mean, how many other games have you playing as a rabbi? None.
Exactly. Which is like I said, you know, why do a game about a rabbi? Why not? Because no one else has. Why do a game about a man whore? Why not? Because no one else has. Why do a game about a real estate agent? Why not? Because no one else has. Sometimes you can, you know, people get sick of, you know, the pirate or the everyday guy or the, you know, everyday guy thrown into extraordinary circumstances sort of thing, like your broken swords and your Gabriel Knights and all that sort of thing. You know, you can really get something out of picking a protagonist with a different type of outlook on life or a different trait about them or just something that you don't normally, something that's not the normal cookie cutter thing.
Yeah, good. I think in some way LucasArts embraced this a little bit. I mean, you've got the astronaut team, you've got the biker gang, and even Dave the Technical, you've got three sort of everyday people, but they're all everyday in their own little unique ways.
You know? Yeah.
But yeah, I think a lot of the, like, I see a lot of adventure game characters, and I'm like, man, you could pull him out of this game and put him into another game, and it wouldn't feel any different.
Yeah.
Which is a bit, you know, sometimes you want someone that's really identifiable and really recognizable. Like, I mean, in one sense, Rosa Blackwell is a really everyday, every man, every person sort of thing. But on the other hand, you know, she's quite identifiable, and, yeah. I don't know whether that spawns from her being a female nerd in a genre that's either populated by males or, like, European skinny, you know, women. They're like all the same. Yeah, so I don't know. But, yeah, I think if you look at something like Resonance, you know, I guess Resonance was fairly well characterized with its four characters.
Yeah, because they were all quite different from each other.
One thing I really liked about Resonance is how at the start you get introduced to the four characters separately. I really like that, actually.
Yeah.
I'd like to... I was actually a little disappointed when it... Sorry, Vince. I know you're listening. You can't... Ha-ha! See? Vince 12 listens. You can't do that. But I kind of... I would have gotten a fair bit... Oh, that's quite rude, Mr. Man with the Horn. Or lady.
That was Vince 12 outside my window.
Yeah, he was like, Ben Chandler! How dare you? I would really, I think, get a lot out of a game played entirely in vignettes like that. I think that would be amazing. So it Vince 12, work. Stop working on your current project, whatever that is.
Resonance 2.
And
make Resonance 2 completely vignettes.
That would be sensational.
And please feature the ghost of Dr. Morales in there.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Because
so you can do some voice acting.
Exactly. Now let's turn the magnifying lens onto you, Ben Chan.
Hello.
Tell me about your game character protagonist choices. You do a lot of female characters, but you do a lot of interesting characters. I mean, you have Annie Android, who is an android, who is a lady, and
she's
an android,
basically a lady trapped in a world of no emotion.
Yes.
Well. She's trying to. It's kind of punky. It's a mildly protesting romantic comedy.
Okay.
Yeah. I generally write characters for my games based around parts of myself that I don't like.
Interesting.
So I'll find something that I do that I'm like, oh man, I'm such a dork. I shouldn't do that, and then make that the main attribute of a character and see them overcome it.
It's interesting. Is there any particular reason? Is there any particular reason that you make them female?
I don't always make them female. Well, I mean, about half of them are female.
Yeah, that's true. Half of them are female.
So my thing is, I've said this before. I said this about relationships because someone was talking to me about the fact that someone told me, they said, "Oh man, you write lots of lesbians," and no, I really don't.
You've written one, and she wasn't even. Well, I mean, Moira. Was Moira really a lesbian? She
wasn't a lesbian.
She wasn't a lesbian. She just had the option to have lesbian sex with the.
Yeah. Yeah, this is what I said to them. I said, I write relationships between characters, not between genders.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how I feel about it. But no, Moira wasn't a lesbian, and neither was the lady. Well, she had sex with a prostitute, But yeah, so
there you go. I mean, Backdoor Man, the protagonist wasn't gay, but he had he had the option to have a male homosexual sexual encounter.
It's 2013. People are over the whole
label thing.
Yeah, it doesn't. Man, nobody cares about any of that.
Except for hotspot labels.
Yeah, that's important.
And I would argue that there are still people who care about that, but those people are silly, and that's other topic
What I'm saying is now people aren't getting pedantic, you know. But yeah, I don't really go, oh man, I need to write a female for this role, or I need to write a male for this role, you know. When I did Falling Scales, I wanted to do a male, you know, and a guy called Roger, and it just felt right to have him be a male. You know, at the same time when I did Airwave, I was like, yeah, man, if a female DJ, the thing, because when I listen to the radio station, a lot of the time when I listen to the radio, it's a particular show at night that's got a female DJ. So I have a more clear idea of what I think a female DJ would say.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in that case, but yeah, it's for me. Gender's not really an issue. Mm. You know, I could usually on a project go either way.
Wasn't there a character in Airwave, the bartender who flirts with her and like confesses her love for her or something?
She's the one lesbian I've written.
Okay.
Yeah. So there you go. That was
All right.
There you go. That was
so cute. That's that. We found her.
We found her. We tracked her down. That little scamp.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think I've written any. I mean, aside from the guy in Backdoor Man, I don't think I've written any homosexual characters that I can think of offhand.
Or females.
No, I've had females. I mean, look at Bertha Butt.
Oh yeah, you're right, man. You redeemed yourself this year. You've finally done it. Well done. But yes, yeah, so I think. For me, when we're talking about character identity, I think gender and race and that sort of thing doesn't really play as big as a role now in today's as it might have done in the 60s, where people would go, oh, it's a woman, this is her role. Oh, it's a man, that's his role. Oh,
no,
it's a
absolutely.
Black person. Oh, it's a fat person. You know, that doesn't work like that anymore.
Yeah, I think if you're going to sit down and you're going to say, well, let me make a game with a protagonist, a character who, you know, has a different identity. I think if you were to sit down and say, okay, well, let me make it a female, let me make it them homosexual, let me make them black, you know, I think you're going about that the wrong way, because obviously it's not a bad thing to assign character traits to characters that are not normally seen. But I think if you're basing it on that just to do it for the sake of doing it, I think that's not a good way to do it. Like, just because your character is not mainstream doesn't necessarily make them interesting.
No, that's not a personality anymore, you know?
Exactly.
It used to be. And people used to get away with it, and it's a shame that they did. But that's not a personality anymore. And there's so much more interesting stuff you can do with a character than going, oh, yeah, this is the female. Oh, yeah, that's the fat guy. Oh, yeah, it's the black person. You know, it's not like that anymore. You know, and Or even into, like, even 5 years ago, oh, it's the gay person, you know, that sort of stuff. No, it doesn't. That's not a character trait, you know. And it's a bit of a shame that it was at one point, but, you know, you can't give a character. It's all about what's in their head. It's about what's in their head and their soul and their heart, you know. That's what really makes a character, who they are. You know, that everybody, if you're making a game, you need goals, you need aspirations. You need to give your character some aspiration, some motivation for doing what they're going to do over the course of the game, or for going against their own will in order to do what they need to do, you know? Like, obviously, this year Tomb Raider come out, and you get this nice, posh English girl forced into, you know, survival mode. It's that taking a character out of their... out of what they're there to do and challenging them that makes them become a better, but not always.
I mean, that's definitely an interesting way, especially if you have an established character.
That's right.
It's interesting to see character development, like, for example, over the course of a series, if you have one character.
Absolutely.
And you can take them out of their comfort zone and kind of play around with that. That's always interesting. But
yeah, make them fall in love with a witch that dies, and, you know, get them trapped in a galleon. And,
you hush.
But yeah, I'm working on Blackwell, so I'm kind of like, I've kind of had that in my brain for the last thing. But I look at how Rosa Blackwell has changed over the course of. Over the course of five games, and it's a lot. I remember... Yeah. Have you played Blackwell Legacy recently?
No, but I remember that she didn't want to interrupt Nishanti with her flute thing, and she was she had social anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. And now look at her.
And now she's all like, I'm Rosa Blackwell. Get out of my way, bitch.
I'm going to punch you in the dick. No, she's not like that at all. But yeah, I mean, Rosa is still Rosa. I mean, she's undeniably still Rosa Blackwell.
Yeah,
I really liked in Bestowers of Eternity, to be honest, when Joey is like the big reveal at the end. Oh, that was amazing. And now Joey's... I said to Dave the other day, and this is the thing, Joey in Blackwell Legacy is a ton scarier than he is now, than he was in Deception. Because Joey, man... Go back and play Blackwell Legacy, and when you first meet Joey and you go back to the doctor's place, try and tell the doctor about Joey. Joey gets violent, man. He gets like, So I kind of missed that darker side of Joey, and it's still hinted at a little bit, but it's made like explicit in Legacy, and I miss that. And hopefully, yeah, I've said that to Dave the other day, and hopefully some more of Joey will come out. I mean, a little bit of Joey came out in the end of Deception, but I want a bit more of Joey to come out. Because, yeah, he's such this friendly, charming ghost now. It's almost like Casper the Friendly Ghost with a hat. And, no, it's not like that at all. But you know what I'm saying, right? You know, Joey used to be not just a tough guy, but a real hard-ass with it. And
I don't know what Dave's thought process behind it is, but I kind of think that maybe he wanted to get away from that because of all the people who assumed that Joey was a mafia guy.
Yeah, but come on, man. I don't care what people think.
Joey's been...
Stop assuming things wrong.
Joey,
he's not a mafia.
So many people have assumed things about what Joey was when he was alive, and it's ridiculously... and nobody's gotten it yet, and it's like so... blatantly obvious that I was so excited when I realized it after playing Deception.
Yeah.
And it was just silly.
But yeah, no, I really liked that in Legacy because before I started playing working on Epiphany,
mm-hmm.
I went through back and played through all four Blackwell games in a row, you know, because it's been a year since I worked on it.
Sure.
And I was like, I need to get my head in the right zone and get, you know. So I was surprised going back at, you know, this contrast between this nerdy, you know, sort of isolated by choice, just bookish type versus this sort of outgoing, charismatic, but also very dark brooding character of Zoe. So yeah, I think I don't even know how we got into this subject for this tangent, and I don't care. But you know, I was playing another game recently by Frogwares called The Longest Journey.
What?
And I got what?
Not Frogwares. What are you talking about?
I mean, Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Okay.
It's the same thing. It takes forever to get to the center of the Earth. And I was really disappointed in the game. And one of the many, many flaws in it was that the main character was just nobody. She just wasn't anyone, you know? Yeah. There was nothing about her. And, yeah, other than that, I mean, the game had lots and lots of flaws. I'm sorry, Frogwares, I know you're listening, but it was just, what were you...
I'm not even going to say anything.
But, yeah. But, yeah, I get sick of playing these games with these characters that are like, you know, I look at Runaway and...
Oh, my God. Don't get me started on that piece of crap.
I did not like Runaway when I played it. And one of the most annoying things for me was just the main character was just...
Yes.
Why would you write anybody like... Anyway, I was talking to Captain Nemo, and he really, really likes Runaway. And he's like, he couldn't understand how I could, like, not like Runaway. He's like, And anyway, he played it in the Russian version, and one day he decided to start playing it in the English version.
And he agreed with you?
As soon as he started playing, he's like, I hate this guy. I hate this voice act. This sucks. Ruined him.
See, I think that has a lot to do with it. I think it had to do a lot with the translation, because I had a friend who played the Runaway in the original Spanish version, and she told me that in the Spanish version, Brian's voice was like, hola, soy Brian. And, you know, he was a lot more manly. But they just gave him
an American audience and was like, yeah, I'm a nerd. I'm Brian.
And so, yeah, I think maybe his characterization had a lot to do with it. His voice.
Man, it would be awesome to play as a guy with glasses who walks around like, hola, soy Brian. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I know, it would be.
Yeah, they should. Oh, man. Screw you people that tried to mainstreamize Runaway, because I think you ruined the game for me, other than other elements that ruined it a bit for me. But yeah, the main character was really... And that's the thing about when we're talking about characterization. An annoying main character can really ruin a game for you.
Like Alamo in The Last Dutchman's Mind?
Yes. And all of the characters in the Book of Unwritten Tales. One thing that... People like the Book of Unwritten Tales, so that's cool, that's fine. But one thing I noticed playing the game is that I did not like any of the characters at all. You've given me four characters to play as, and I don't like any of them. So that's pretty sad, you know? Yeah. Whereas something like Grim Fandango or Edna and Harvey... Where I'm like, man, these characters are, I love playing as Edna or as you know, as Money. I love every time Edna hides in the closet and giggles. It makes me laugh every time.
Okay.
Oh man, Edna and Harvey the Breakhead is great. You do get these characters that are sort of, there's no character to them, you know, and. We've had enough characterless games in the 90s, you know.
Yeah.
It's alright if you're making a first-person shooter and the focus is on blasting demons. But, oh man, I'm yawning. I'm in bed and I'm yawning. This is the worst podcast. But yeah, give me a character to play as, please. Someone interesting. Someone that I can find things out about.
Yeah. It's always fun to sort of have a character that you can learn more about.
Yeah, man. Like Uncle Page.
Yeah. He's a pig.
Oinky, oinky, oinky.
Well, you learn about Jade, too.
You do.
Or should I say Shawnee?
Shawnee.
Oh, papa.
Here's the thing, listeners of our podcast. Here's your homework, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you have not yet played Beyond Good and Evil, for whatever strange reasons have entered your life that made you not play it.
If you haven't played, if you haven't played Beyond Good and Evil yet, just stop listening to this podcast right now and find the nearest window and jump out of it, because your life is not worth living.
And after you've died horribly on the pavement below, play Beyond Good and Evil, because not only is it great and well designed and with Michel Ancel, but also, and here's an important thing, it has music by Christoph Erhard, which is which is one of my favorite combinations of two people in the entire world, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Almost like, you've got Hall & Oates, you've got Christoph Erhard and Michel Ancel, so you've got these duos that are just unbreakable, And also, it's not a long game, so it's not a huge time investment. You don't have to play for 60 hours to finish the game.
Not even. You could finish that game in 10 hours, tops.
Yeah, so imagine a Zelda game that you don't need to spend 60 hours on. Amazing. Perfect. Play Beyond Good and Evil. It's fantastic. There's your homework.
Yes.
And not only that, you've got no goddamn excuse because it's on, like, every platform ever. Well,
that's PC. Right.
PS3 and Xbox and
they've just come out with an HD remastered version. So
well, just a year ago.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah. So I mean, you look at, if we're talking about annoying game protagonists, let's talk about Simon the Sorcerer.
Oh,
and how to not make funny characters.
Well, Simon the Sorcerer was all right in the first game.
Yeah, and then he turns into a massive dick in the second
game. The second game I didn't like it in the second game.
It was a bit of a dick in the first game, but he's...
Yeah, but he was just inexcusably dickish in the second game.
He was an oozing dickhole.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say about that game.
Yeah, good.
Good. But yeah, I think strong characters are important. If you look at something like Fallout New Vegas or something like Red Dead Redemption, I think, you know, you've got these characters that really carry the game. I need a story to get invested in a lot of the time when I'm playing a game, you know, and it's good to have characters. But you look at action games, even like Aquanox and Wing Commander and stuff like that, and I really like them a lot because you've got these games that not only have the cool, fast-paced combat underwater or in space, you know, but also between the missions, you've got these people to talk to, and when you talk to them, they have their own little perks and their own little traits, and I'm always interested to find out what they say in Wing Commander, and especially in Aquanox, because Aquanox is sensational.
And their own little accents, which you can do out loud in racist ways.
Aye, laddie. It really, for me, that's why I love games like Wing Commander and Aquanox so much. Not only because the combat's great, but because you've got these people. You know, how many people, when they played Half-Life 2, were like, oh my god, Alex, you know? It was like, it really adds to the experience. If you've got, I mean, I know some people hate them. But that's why I'll always like the Baldur's Gate games much more than the Icewind Dale games. You know, that's why I'll like stuff like Vampire the Masquerade and Bloodlines over, you know, other shooters of that era, because they've got these characters that I really love, you know. I remember playing Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, and you walk to the thing, and the very first guy you talk to when you play the game is Jack, who's amazing, and voiced by the guy that does Bender. And I was just like, yes, this game's great, this guy's cool, I'm invested in this already, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's like, I remember going from GTA 3, which I really didn't get into, because you've got this character that's just, and he doesn't say anything, you know?
Yeah, the silent protagonist.
Into Vice City with Tommy Vercetti, and I was like, yeah, this guy's great.
Yeah.
He's like, he wears a Hawaiian shirt and jeans, what a legend. So, yeah, that gives it a lot for me, you know, having these characters.
Sure.
Well, this isn't really a very insightful podcast, but I don't care. I'm in bed, I'm happy.
Yeah. Well, on that note, perhaps it's time to wrap this thing up.
Is it? What thing up? The sandwich?
The podcast.
Oh.
What sandwich?
I thought you were going to make one and mail it to me. I'm hungry.
It won't be good by the time it gets to you.
I thought you told me that your mail's really fast now.
Oh, well, that's only when I order things to my place.
This whole time. I would say on a final note, because, you know, these things have to be said. If you're going to write a character, don't write them like Jack Keane from the Jack Keane games.
Please. Oh, why? What's wrong with him?
I don't like him.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I haven't played any of them, so I don't know.
Imagine it's like they tried to cross Indiana Jones with Guybrush Threepwood, which really doesn't work because they're completely different characters.
Yeah. Oh, I hear a cat.
Do you?
Yes. Where? There.
Oh. What are you doing, Monty?
He's being a cat. He's come to tell you that it's time to finish the podcast.
All right. Okay. Well, it wasn't a very topical podcast, but...
Oh, who cares? We'll be back eventually, and we'll be back in a week or so, probably. So, yes, thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.